Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, we're going to got you working a little bit, Brother Steve. If you bring that table here. Thank you. Don't you appreciate Brother Steve and the team? Hallelujah. We appreciate you guys. All right, you're good. You're good. Thank you. That is good. Uh-oh. It's not open. Yeah, let me grab it. Grab this. You open the table. Yeah, let the legs fold. Yeah, there you go. There we go. All right, now we got to get this all straight. But we'll get it straight in a minute. All right. Now, last week, we talked about, and this is just for an illustration here, purposes. Last week, we talked about winning the battle of the mind. So I'm going to ask my two helpers, Soraya and John, to come up. Come on, let's celebrate them. Let's give them a hand as they come up. It's always a big deal. It's a big deal when kids get involved in ministry, right? Amen. So they're going to be my helpers and kind of open this chart. Right. You hold that side. You just pull it open. All right. Now I'm going to come around with my pointer. Hold the top here, Soraya, too. Yeah, kind of. I don't have it framed yet, so it's just a canvas. But we talked about the battle of the mind, and one of the things we articulate, if you can see this picture, thank you guys, the armor of God. So you can get a picture or an illustration or an image of this individual suited up for battle. Now, to win the battle or to be able to overcome in the battle, we said, as the Bible says, you must put on the whole armor of God. So imagine this. You got to have your helmet of salvation on. You got to have that shield of faith up. You got to have the sword of the Spirit, or the sword that the Spirit will, because you got to be able to take an offensive posture against the enemy. You got to be able to have your shoes shod with the preparation of God's speed, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because this armor is not physical metal or tin or aluminum type material. It is, the armor is symbolic of Bible knowledge. It's symbolic of Bible knowledge. Everybody say Bible knowledge. So you need to have Bible knowledge about salvation. And you won't have salvation like a helmet to cover your soul when the devil tells you and questions you and challenges your identity. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. The devil will always challenge your identity so he can take your inheritance and steal your future. So if you don't have the helmet of salvation, or salvation symbolized as a helmet, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know you're a child of God, you don't know that you're blessed by God, you're chosen by God, you're accepted by God, you're adopted into the family of God. Come on now. You're an anointed heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. If you don't know that, the devil's going to challenge your identity and tell you who you're not. And then you're going to act like who you're not. Why? Because where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. What you think about, you bring about. So let's give these kids a hand. They showed this illustration. Hallelujah. And as always, we want to bless you for helping me. Praise God. So here's one for you. I'm not torturing you guys. You're getting paid here. Hallelujah. Thank you. You guys can take it to the seat and roll it up. Just roll it up in the seat. I'm going to put it in the bag later. I'll put it in the bag later. Now, if you remember, we sent you over the weekend. He can stand there. He can stand there. He's jumping like a jelly bean this morning. Praise God. Just stand behind the white side. Just stand. Don't touch anything. All right, let's read First Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Guys, you can put it up on the screen. We'll read it together. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Let's give him the Jeopardy music. Dun, 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 dun. He's getting it up there. Whenever you're ready. Ready, set, go. All right. Here it is. All right, let's all read this together. Ready? Read. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things or think on these things. All right, so go back to verse 6, guys, if you would, please. So as we send out a note to you, just to follow up and underscore this, you got to play. God is inviting us to kind of like a chess game. Now, I was a chess player in high school. I was part of the chess club. And if you knew Kennedy Hagin, he used to always mention, you know, he liked board games, chess, checkers. And he would play competitively. He was kind of had a competitive spirit like I did a little bit. But and he would play until he won. So he... But it's good strategy games and stuff like that. But chess is, you know, each person has a move. So he used to tell us you got to invite God into a chess game thing when it comes to your problem of worrying. Because that's a big area of the mind that people don't win. Now you got to stand over here, Donnie. So if Donnie's the believer, he's got to invite, when the cares of life and the worries come into him, he's got to invite God like a chess game. See, God's over here on this side with the black chess pieces, but he's not going to move. There's three rules that God won't do that has to apply. Number one is verse 6 is your turn. You have to move. God will never move out of turn. God will never be checkmate by your problems or your worries, things that you're worried about. He will never be, you know, I can't move. I can't move on that situation. I can't deal with that. But you got to move first. Amen. A lot of times people worry about, what am I going to do? Are y'all here? Y'all going home already? We what am I going to do? Well, you got to make a move. And verse 6 is your move. Verse 6, as we said, every Christian has three circles. You have a worry circle, which is supposed to have what in it, church? Nothing in it. So if something comes into that worry circle, you've got to give it to God. You've got to make a move. And then there's the prayer circle. But in everything by prayer. So you got to move that worry to a prayer. You got to pray about everything. You got to give that to God, what we call the prayer of commitment, casting your cares on the Lord. You got to give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. And then it's got to be a thanksgiving circle. When you give it to the Lord, you say, thank you. It's yours now. I don't have it. You have it. But what if we still have it? We still haven't made our move. So I'm God over here, and Donnie doesn't know how to play chess, so I'm going to have to walk him through it. So if he looks at this, you know, the first move, you can't just jump over your players first. You can with certain pieces, but so that we're going to say we're going to move the pawn. So Donnie, move this pawn up here. All right, he's moved. Now whose turn is it? It's God's turn. So God makes a move. I'm going to bring this horse out. So then God's move is verse 7. Put up verse 7. he moved or you moved, then what? He gives you the peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard. Now you got protection over your heart, your protection over your mind. But while you still have it in your mind and in your on your heart, there's no protection. There's no peace. Are you listening to me? And then it's you move your move the next one. So I moved. Now Donnie has another move, just like you do. Verse 8 is your move again. All right, move. You can put it right here, right there. There you go. Thank you. Finally, my brother, whatever things, that's you. See, prayer is you. Peace is God. Proper thinking is you. That means you have to do your own checkup from the neck up. You have to think about what you've been thinking about. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, let's give Donnie a hand. Thank you. Thank you, Donnie. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll do that later. Okay. All right, go sit down. Go sit down. Go sit down. Thank you. All right. Praise God. There's other games in there he knows about. Praise God. So proper thinking is what we're going to focus on intently today. How is your thinking? Now, some people make sure that they brush their teeth. Everybody in here looks like they comb their hair or brush their hair. Those of us with shorter levels of hair, follicles. Many times we take care and concern to put clothes on, to hygiene our bodies, to bathe or shower, put on deodorant or something, to look decent and smell what? Decent. Is everybody here? But too often, we neglect a very important part of our makeup. This is the mind. So we're going to be talking about the importance of renewing our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says to us, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say, be transformed. Now, this word transform is the Greek reference to the word metamorpho, which means metamorphosis scientifically, which means the changing from an ugly, hairy, crawly, slimy caterpillar into a beautiful flying butterfly. That's transformation, because it goes through, it spins itself into a cocoon, and then it transforms or metamorphosizes inside that cocoon, and when it breaks out of that cocoon, it becomes a beautiful, colorful butterfly. That's not just crawling and hairy and slimy and ugly, it's now flying and beautiful. To go higher, you got to think higher. You got to get rid of stinking thinking. See, we will make sure that our bodies don't stink when we get up and go to do our business for the day. And thank God we do. Amen. We're not laying on the street and smelling like 3 weeks of not showering or bathing. But what about your mind? He's saying that you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what that is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Because of your mind, it's mind over matter. What you think about, you bring about. What's on your mind? If your mind is a mess, your life is going to be replicated as a mess. Romans 12:2 in Passion Translation says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live in a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Now, we're focusing on that point from Philippians 4, 6 through 8, and mainly verse 8, is you got to make sure you're thinking properly. Because you could be thinking improperly. Ephesians 4:23 says this in the Amplified Classic, and be constantly renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So are you fresh or are you stale in your thought life? Y'all know, you know, with the heat and everything, bread molds a little quicker. So you matter the mold and mildew that could be in your mind. I'm trying to affect your imagery so you can see what I'm talking about. He's saying be constantly. Be constantly. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to make sure the mold and mildew and the mess is cleaned up. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Now, in Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says to us very clearly that God is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that works in us. Now, in the Amplified, it says it this way. If you put it up in the Amplified, it said, now to him who by in consequence of all action of his power that is at work, where is it? Where is this working? It, within us, it is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God flows through people. God flows through people, and he flows through you. Are you stopping him up? Are you clogging up his ability, his capability through you? See, some people are very excited about what God can do and what God is able to do. But he's saying he's working in you, and you missed the point. In this verse, it says, according to the power that works in you. Because God can do anything. He can do, if you think of your wildest dream, your biggest imagination, he says, I can do better. What's that song? I can do better than, so somebody know. But anyway, God can do better. See, if we don't have faith, ladies and gentlemen, if our belief system is wrong and out of whack, and if we're not building ourselves upon our most holy faith, we limit the power of God that flows in us and flows from us. See, friends, life is not a dress rehearsal. Everybody say, life is not a dress rehearsal. Now, Romans chapter 12 says it this way in the New King James. It says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Praise the Lord. So we must give ourselves a checkup from the neck up and regularly, and we must think about what we are thinking about. We have to regularly rid ourselves of stinking thinking. So if we have stinking thinking, we'll have stinking lives. And we will limit what God wants to do in and through us by his grace and power. It is mind over matter. Your mind, what's on your mind matters. Philippians 4:2-5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means we've been given, upgraded, top of the line, top shelf brains. You've been given saved and savior-like brains, just like Jesus. So I can think just like Jesus. Because he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's also an inference to attitude and humility. His attitude and his humble mind be in you. A humble mind is different from a haughty mind. A haughty mind just thinks about itself. Like we said here in the offering teaching, when you worry, who are you thinking about? You abandon everything else. You distrust everyone else except yourself. And so we give ourselves an excuse to worry. I got a reason to worry. I got a reason to be upset. I got a reason to be angry. I got a reason to be having aught. I got a reason to have anxiety. It's pride. Indirect pride. Because we promote ourselves ahead of God and everybody else. And we have what we call an I problem. Not this, the letter I. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say this with me. I have the mind of Christ, and I hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. So when you're under pressure, when you're facing a problem, when the worry starts to walk into your brain, into your mind, you got to say, I have the mind of Christ. And I hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. I'm not going to be shattered and scattered in this situation. I'm not going to have my mind divided up and split up. I'm not going to be confused. I'm going to stay in Christ because I have the mind of Christ. Come on now. I have the mind of Christ. I put on the mind of Christ. Some of us need to do it a lot earlier. We may need to put an alarm at 8 o'clock. And when that alarm hits 8 o'clock in the morning, you got to say, oh, did I put on my mind yet? You might have your clothes on, but did you put on the mind of Christ yet? See, we must be transformed by renewing our minds and changing the way we think daily with the Word of God. Now, here are some principles that we must practice in renewing the mind. Everybody good? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So God's not thinking on the same level we are. We got to come up to him. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So to go higher, you have to think higher. Low thinking limits God. Low thinking limits God. I ain't gonna never have enough money. You might not say it, but if you're thinking it, you're gonna eventually say it. I can't afford. I don't see how. there's no way I can. Now write this definition down. Renewing the mind is basically exchanging our thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes, opinions, values, and perspectives for God's thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes, opinions, values, and perspectives. Again, I'll say it again. Renewing the mind is exchanging our thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes, opinions, values, and perspectives for God's thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes, opinions, values, and perspectives. So what is it? Literally, it's thought replacement and exchanging. That's why we said it before. You got to think about what you think about. You got to think about, is that thought from God? Did that originate from heaven, or did it originate from hell? Especially when you're thinking about your loved ones, your spouse, your children, your relatives. Did that thought about them originate from heaven, a God, or did it originate from the devil? Come on now. When you're thinking about the thought comes to you about your circumstance or your need of the moment, did that thought originate from God and his word, or did it originate from somewhere else? If it's not from God or his word, then you have to exchange it. You've got to replace it. So that's why we said everybody's responsible for maintaining their mind, managing their mindset. See, because God said, I did the first move. I recreated your spirit. I put the life of God in you. I put the nature of God in you. You've got the ability of God in you. You've got the power of God in you. Come on now. You've got all this in you, but that's in your spirit, man. But now you got to do something with your soul, man. And most people want to give God or put it on the preacher or the church to do all the work. But you've got to exchange your thoughts. You've got to do thought replacement. It's renovating and remodeling your mind. If you ever remodeled a house or remodeled a car, you understand a little bit of that concept. If you've renovated something, you've taken out the cobwebs, the dust, the mold, the mildew, the stench. You cleaned it out, and you cleared it out of the mess. You got to do that with your mind. Some people spring clean their house or their apartment, but they don't clean anytime their mind. You know, some people have a mindset that don't throw anything away. That's why 10-year-old Tupperware containers are still under the cabinet. They've been stained and starched with colors from food and warped because of microwaving or oven. You got to change that stuff out. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, when you renew or renovate or remodel our minds and our thinking to build and erect godly strongholds, and at the same time tear down and demolish ungodly strongholds. Now I want to introduce or reintroduce the idea or the concept of strongholds. What constitutes a stronghold? Well, a stronghold, by definition, is castles, fortresses, or walled cities. So what it means, it's a hard spot, or it's a built-up thing. It's a built-up walled thing. Now, in Psalms 92, verse 2 through 3, in the Passion, do we have that there or no? Do we have the Passion back there? No? Yeah, go ahead, put it up. Look at what it says. He's the hope that holds me, and, talking about God, and the stronghold. Everybody say stronghold. Stronghold to shelter me, and the only God for me and my great confidence. Look at verse 3. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. See, a godly stronghold does that. It protects you. It provides for you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 22. I'm just trying to lay a foundation of godly strongholds. Proverbs 21, 22, in the Amplified, it says, a wise man scales the city walls of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Now, notice the tie-in to trust. If you read in Psalms 91, it says, in him will I trust. He's a stronghold. Stronghold and trust are linked together. Next scripture, Nehemiah 1:7. It says, the Lord is good. Everybody say, the Lord is good. A strength and a stronghold. Everybody say, stronghold. When? In the day of trouble. He knows, recognizes, and has knowledge of, and understands those that take refuge and trust. There's that word trusting in him. Everybody say strongholds is linked to trust. All right. So a stronghold is going to be defined by what a person genuinely trusts. So what does the enemy bring? He brings a stronghold as well. It's a place where you do not trust the Lord completely and unconditionally. And you can see it in people's behavior and even in your own life if you do some little self-examination. When your money gets funny, where's your trust lie? Come on now. Y'all here this morning? Where's your trust lie? Pull back. Hold back my giving, my tithing. It's just indicative or evidence of an ungodly, demonic stronghold. Because you don't trust God with your money. The devil has lied to you and deceived you to a point to where you feel like, I can only trust myself and hold on to that money with a vice grip. I can't turn it go. I can't give freely. Why? Because the devil has a stronghold in my mind. And the Bible says we must cast down those imaginations and pull down those, what, strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But people don't trust in that God and his word unconditionally. It's conditionally. Because they may can even quote it, but they don't trust fully in it. What happens when you kind of give yourself over? And the devil keeps hammering you with sickness and disease and diagnosis after diagnosis. And the doctors, your medicine list is getting longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. You begin to transfer that trust from God and his word to the doctor, to the medicine, to the pills. And you think, I'm always going to have this. I'm always going to deal with this. And you magnify the medicine. And you don't magnify the word as your medicine. Or 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you. So what strongholds have you? Or, I'll say it more correctly. What strongholds do you have? What are the godly strongholds you have? Those are areas where you completely trust the Lord unconditionally. When the devil whops you with a circumstance or negative situation, you just say, I just trust God. He's going to get me through it. I lean and depend and rely on him completely. All will be well. Come on now. You think about the Shunammite woman who lost her son, died. She wrote to the prophet of God and said, all is well. All is well. It is well with you. Yeah, it's well. She maintained a positive confession about God and his will for her life because she wasn't taking death. She completely trusted the Lord. That's why she went to the Lord when things were not right. When people don't trust the Lord, they run from the Lord, even though they know it's not right. That's an area you have to get your mind renewed. So we should allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to stretch us and to strengthen our souls beyond the limits of our current thinking level. Trust is a soulish response. Belief is a heart response or a spirit response. With the heart, man believes. But trust is a soulless response. Trust is cultivated in your soul. Trust is evident by supernatural peace and joy of the Lord. So in other words, we check our joy and peace monitors. Trust is the final outworking of our faith. Sometimes, and if we all admit it, we trust the Lord unconditionally in certain areas. And so based on how he's answered us and how we've experienced him in times past, financially, physically, when it comes to healing or sickness, or emotionally or relationally, if you've been through a lot of relational, emotional trauma, family trauma, sometimes it can eat away at your trust level. And so we end up putting conditions on our trust. Because we think about what? What didn't happen, what prayers didn't come through the last time. How we imagined it. And so we have a negative imagination about how God has done us, but we don't realize we limited him with our thinking. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Man, if you're falling asleep, stand up. Praise God. This is good stuff. So if you don't have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, you don't really trust God. And being a pastor for over 17 years, I can tell when people don't really trust God because they always got an excuse, explanation, or they're excited in a negative sense, like nervous. Because there's no peace there. They're always. When you got joy and peace, you're glad. You're not sad. You're not mad. And then when the peace is there, you're calm. You're confident. You're courageous. There's no issue. The storms may blow. The storms may hit up against you, or the winds may blow. It's okay. God's got this. I trust God. If you don't have joy and peace, you don't really trust God. So to build this godly stronghold, you have to start with your thoughts and build your imagination. That's something you got to do. You got to make the first move. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a few keys, and then we're going to close. Everybody good? Key number one, you can change to make your life what you want it to be. You can change to make your life what you want to be. If we'll change our way of thinking, according to the principles of the Bible, we will find the success in life we so desperately need. You got to take God's word and put it in your thought life. And let his word be your brains. When somebody says, what do you think about that? The first thing you say, what does the word say? That's what I think about it. What's your opinion about that? Wait a minute. Let me check my brains. Because, see, the challenge with the selfie generation or selfish generation is that everybody wants to have something to say. But we want to say what only he says and think what only he thinks. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Key number two, the new birth changes your spirit, but renewing the mind changes the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. Now, it depends on how you were raised or your experiences of life, you know, that those determinisms that they say psychologically impact us, either impair us or improve us. You know, your environment, your DNA, your genetics, and or your significant emotional events. When you've gone through emotional events, you know, it kind of marks you and mars you in a sense. And so how do you erase that? How do you exchange that? Well, you got to renew your mind. You got to take those old thoughts out, old experiences and images out, and put new ones in. In other words, because the devil knows if he touches that area, you're going to get emotional and you're going to go off. Or you're going to make a wrong decision because he just puts pressure on your soul and then now he knows you're going to make a bad decision. You got to make sure your mind is right. Amen. Number three. You can be on your way to heaven, it's a big one, but live in hell on earth. So that means you can be a Christian, a child of God, a son or daughter of God, but you can be living in hell on earth. When our minds are renewed by the word of God, we will overcome negative desires and live in God's perfect will. Now let me say something just a little bit about the will of God. He said, good, acceptable, and perfect will. We all need to be walking in those areas. Is this acceptable to you, Lord? The way I think. The way I think about my spouse. The way I think about my parents. The way I think about my kids. Is this acceptable? Is this good, Lord? The way I think about my money. Is this the perfect will of God? Is this the way you want me to think about my money, my increase, my income, Lord? Holy Spirit, help me think the perfect will of God for my family, for my wife, for my husband, my kids, my future. Help me to think the perfect will of God. See, some people live in the permissive will of God. That means God will allow what you want, and he will allow what you will allow in. And some people allow sin to get in, selfishness to get in, come on now, and pride to get in. And they think, well, that you just got to take me as the way I am, Lord. I'm a mess. No, it's not good. It's not acceptable. It's not the perfect will of God. Because you can be on your way to heaven, but you can live in hell on earth. Key number four. Renewing the mind is more than learning, it's changing. See, we must come to church not just to learn something new or get some new intellectual insight or feel good if the sermon or the teaching is stimulating, intriguing, or exciting. Instead, we should determine and decide to change. Everybody say change. Renewing the mind is so much more than going through the religious motions. It is a conscious effort and labor to become aware of how you really think and believe. I wonder if we did a survey, how many people in the sound of my voice and online are really aware of how they think and how they believe and what they believe. You got to become aware of how God wants you to think. How many people know how God wants you to think in line with his word? How is your focus on God's thoughts? in meditating and reading, studying, taking the word, talking the word to your faith friends? How often do you practice the thoughts of God until they're your own thoughts? Do you live the thoughts of God every day and allow God's word to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do? See, the word of God is designed to govern what you think first and foremost, what you say, and what you do. Go back to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. We've been through that. Hallelujah. Key number 5, renewing the mind is a lifestyle, not an experience. Somebody said, well, I had to cast that down. Well, you got to a new level. You pull that down. But then the devil's always trying to war and get it back up. Most people lose through a counterattack than the initial attack. He attacks your finances once, yet you got through it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But get ready, because he's coming back. But most people think, I thought I was going with that. And then he starts to landslide you because he's bombarding your mind with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to make you think, I'm going to run out of money. So what people do, their giving slows down. Comes to a screeching halt. Because they thought wrong. They thought the money's going to run out. I'm giving my way to decrease. I got to switch systems. I got to switch to a saving system and not a sowing, God's sowing system. See, negative strongholds and thoughts and attitudes have such a grip on your mind that even though you can't help it, you feel like your mind is controlling you. And you excuse me. And you can't stop thinking certain ways. You start thinking, I'm on a fixed income. I'm not going to be able to catch up. I'm never going to get out of this. I'm never going to have that. See, a negative stronghold is a fortress of wrong thoughts that are formed in the mind, and they affect your life. It's a pattern of negative thinking that imprisons our mind and gives the enemy a protected place of influence. That means every time he comes in there, he says, let's have a party. Because this is already over. They're not going to win in this area. Because I'm going to jump in this stronghold, and I'm going to have a protected place of influence in their mind and through their lives in this area. Well, I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. Key number 6. We're going to close in just a second. Renewing the mind involves taking off the old carnal thoughts of the flesh and putting on the new spiritual thoughts of God. Proverbs 6:23, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs, instructions, confrontation, and correction from the Word of God are designed to bring change in our lives. See, sometimes the Word of God comforts the afflicted, but sometimes the Word of God should afflict the comfortable. Because some people sit in church for years and never want desire to change their thinking, their attitude. Are you listening to me? And you bring the stale, dusty thoughts from a decade ago into today's environment. And, you know, in contemporary circumstances, that makes you obsolete. Or we call it outdated. You know, technology has to be upgraded. Your mind has to be updated. Upgraded. Come on now, regenerate it. Your mind has to change. Are y'all here this morning? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you got to take off the old man and the old ways. Some of you got Facebook friends that some from old yesterday, and they always bring you back to yesterday, yesteryear. They're not taking you forward, they're taking you back. Change is a way of life, ladies and gentlemen. God uses the principle of taking something off before he can put something on or through you. He's not going to take a poverty mindset off of you until you, I mean, put a prosperity mindset in you until you take off the poverty mindset from you. It's your move. You got to make the first move. You got to take it off and then take what he's got and put it on. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. See, change must be a positive part of our lives, not something we avoid. And as in closing, I'll say this. You got to work harder on yourself than you do working hard to worship. Because transforming your mind is a part of your worship. It's an important part of your mind. God wants transfigured bodies, but he wants transformed minds. That means we all should be changing, growing, moving from one level of thinking to another level, a higher level of thinking. Not a lower level. We're not going down an escalator, going descending into the darkness and going back into the darkness. I'm challenging everyone in here and online. Engage in renewing your mind. You got to realize you're at war. The devil never takes a day off. He's always trying to bombard your mind with his bullets. But you've got the equipment of God. You've got the armor of God. You've got the resources of God to be able to win every time, but also grow and develop in your soul realm. Can someone say prayer? Somebody say hallelujah. So you stand with your feet, stand on your feet with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I heard that, Lord. Yes, some of us have responsibilities with